I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord this morning. We are coming to the close of the first, coming to the end of spring and then going into the first month of summer. My dear friends, how ready are we, my dear friends, in our giving an account to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for all that we have done for Him in the course of the year. Now, if we have not done much, let's do something in the last few days of the year, and then endeavor to do much for Him in the year 2019. And the next year, our theme is to be spiritually minded. Let us be well prepared to accept the challenge to be spiritually minded in the year 2019. Let us pray that all of us may be willing to encourage one another in the most holy faith so that all of us may strive together for the faith of the gospel. Now this morning, the topic is, a harlot could be saved, or could a harlot be saved? The answer is yes. We see this in the case of this woman by the name of Rahab. Now, last week, we dealt with Joshua, given the challenge or commission by the one true living God to accept this mission, which is mission impossible, or which was mission impossible. Joshua was to lead the children of Israel into the promised land to conquer the promised land, which was occupied by nations that were more powerful than the nation of Israel. And then there were in the land giants, Anakims, which actually brought a lot of fear into the hearts of the 10 spies, among the 12 spies that went into the land of promise to scout the land of promise some 40 years earlier. Now, then today, Then, of course, Joshua was given the assurance by the one true living God that he would be successful in his mission, because God promised that he would be with him, he would not fail him, he would not leave him. But there was one condition, and that was Joshua was to be strong and of a good courage. He was to be morally strong, and he was to be of good courage. And how could he be strong? How could he be of good courage? The only way for him to be so was for him to meditate on God's word day and night, so that he would be able to perform all that is written in the word of God. And Joshua, by the grace of God, accepted the challenge, and we know at the conclusion of the book of Joshua that he was indeed prosperous and successful in the mission that God had commissioned him to perform. Now today, we are in Joshua chapter 2, and here we have the children of Israel came on the east bank of the river Jordan, and they were about to enter into the promised land. And from there, Joshua sent out two spies from this place called Shittim to spy or to scout the land of promise. And the city that they were going to spy on was the city of Jericho. And so we read in Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go, view the land, even Jericho." And they went, and they came into an harlot's house named Rahab, and lodged there. Now, so these two spies were sent out to scout the promised land. The king of Jericho got wind of their presence in the city of Jericho, and so he sent out search parties to look for these two spies. And apparently, they knew where the two spies had gone to, and so they came to the house of Rahab. Now, Rahab, because of her fear of the one true living God, and because of her faith in the one true living God, hid the two spies, and then told a lie to the search party, that these two spies had left her house and had gone another way. Now, after the search party left, she then helped the two spies down the to help the two spies to escape by letting them down by a scarlet rope or scarlet cord and down the city wall of the wall of the city of Jericho. Now, the because she did that because her house was perched or her house was built on the city wall of the city of Jericho. Now then, for her saving them, the two spies then promised to spare her and her loved ones when the children of Israel subsequently invaded the city of Jericho. The invasion was going to take place soon. Now, the condition for her to be spared was that she must identify her house with this scarlet cord with which she had led the children of, or led the two spies down the wall of the city of Jericho. Now, it was important that she did that so that when the children of Israel invaded the city of Jericho, they would be able to identify that that was her house and then would spare those who were dwelling in the house, namely Rahab and her relatives and her loved ones. Now, today, I want to talk about God's providence in dealing with his chosen. Yes? Now then, I want to talk about God's providence in saving Rahab, and then God's providence responded to by Rahab, and finally, God's providence in saving us by a red cord. Now, first of all, God's providence in dealing with his chosen. Here, I'm talking about the two spies. Yes, the two spies obviously were chosen by the one true living God. Now, first of all, let us understand that in God's providence in dealing with his chosen, he might lead us into tight spots, actually for our own good. Now, why should the two spies go to the house of this prostitute, Rahab? There were hundreds of other homes that the two spies could have gone to, but they did not. But instead, just went to the house of Rahab. Now, if you were the two spies, now what would you have thought or what would you have said when you were in the house of Rahab with the knowledge that the search parties were searching for them? Now, you would probably say this, tough luck. What a disaster for us to end up in the home of a prostitute. She would be the first kind of people to blow our cover. For what purpose? Of course, for money. What a tight spot we have gotten ourselves into. But friends, let us realize that it was not accidental, neither was it coincidental. It was not by chance that they were in the house of Rahab. But it was by God's appointment that they ended up in the home of Rahab the prostitute. Now, you see that tight spot was really the spot that God had appointed for them to be saved. Here, now, friends, let me ask you, have we ever been caught in a tight spot before in our lives? I'm sure we have. We've caught in many tight spots. Now, we could be doing God's will, just as these two spies were doing God's will when they went out to scout the city of Jericho. Then when we were in that tight spot, what could we see? We could only see ourselves in a tight spot. But friends, after the event had gone past, then we look back and realize that tight spot was really God's means of pouring down his blessings upon us. And then on hindsight, we say, yes, thank God that he allowed me to go to that tight spot. Then we understood more clearly what it means when the word of God says, all things work together for good to them that love God, for them who are the called according to his purpose. Now you take, for example, in the office, you could be given a very, very tough assignment. But you know that it is God's will for you to take on that assignment. But when you after you have taken on the assignment, you realize that the assignment is really a very, very tough one. You get yourselves into many, many tight spots. Then you may say, wow, what a tough assignment. Lord, why do you allow me to go into this tough situation? But my dear friends, it was because you were in that very tight spot that you were able to show forth the talents, the gifts, the abilities that the wisdom and the wisdom that the Lord had given to you. And you had performed very, very well in the tight spot. And then your superiors observing you realize that you are actually a very, very capable and able person. And after you have gone to that tight spot, they give you a very, very great promotion because of your good performance. And so you look back, you can say, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, in the case of these two spies, it was the tight spot of being in the home of Rahab that saved them, because Rahab feared God and she had faith in the one true living God, and so she hid the two spies from the searchers. The tight spot, as we said, was really a spot of salvation for the two spies. Next, let us see God's providence in saving Rahab. Now, let's see his hand working in the life of this woman. Now, she had heard of the power of God in delivering the children of Israel from slavery in the land of Egypt. She had heard of the power of God parting the Red Sea for the children of Israel to cross over dry land. And she had also heard of the power that the children of Israel had in defeating the enemies of Israel, because God was with them when they approached the border of the Promised Land. But then she could never, ever identify herself to be on the side of the one true living God because of the state that she was in. She was living in the city of Jericho. Yes, so she could not identify herself with to be on the side of the one true living God until the day the two spies, by the providence of God, came to her home. Now, think about it, if the two spies had gone into somebody else's home, she and her loved ones, the relatives whom she was trying to protect, would have been destroyed by the children of Israel when they invaded the city of Jericho. Yes, here we see God's providence in action. He directed the two spies to come to her home. And that, because it was the time for her salvation. God had timed it such that at this time she would be saved. And so the two spies came, and she was physically as well as spiritually saved. Now we just look back at our lives and see the providence of God in leading us to salvation. How did we come to believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior? You think for a moment back into your life. How did you come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Perhaps your Sunday school teacher gave you the gospel, and you responded to the gospel, and you came to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Or perhaps your friend shared with you the gospel, or someone unknown to you gave you a tract. You read the tract, and you came to believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Or you could have ended in a tight spot, like we said earlier on, because you suffer from a terrible illness and you had to be hospitalized. And then when you were hospitalized, a very kind doctor or very kind nurse who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ shared with you the gospel and you came to believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Or perhaps it could be through your children. You send your children to a Christian kindergarten, and they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the tender hearts received Jesus as Lord and Savior. They came home with gospel songs, and they prayed. And then you were very, very touched by the purity of their faith, as a result of which you came to believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now, what we call all these events and situations that led to your coming to believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, you call them chances? Or accidents or coincidences? No, my dear friends, these, my dear friends, are the providence of God. You see, even before the foundation of the world, God had already chosen you to be his very own. And then there was a day when he put his providence into action. There was a day when someone came to you, gave you the gospel, and then the Holy Spirit spoke to you, you opened your heart, and you came to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. So it is by the providence of God that you came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So in his time, by his providence, God saved Rahab. But why Rahab? Wasn't she a harlot? One who would curse and swear because that was a daily vocabulary? Wasn't she a scum of society? Surely there were those in the city of Jericho who were far, far more morally upright than Rahab was. But friends, they were not saved. They were not chosen. The one who was chosen was Rahab. Now what do you call this, friends? You call it grace. You call it grace. And God showed his grace through his providence by sending the two spies so that this woman, Rahab, could come to profess and confess her faith in the one true living God. Then you will remember the woman taken in adultery. She was caught red-handed, and then she was brought by the scribes and the Pharisees who judged that she should be put to death by stoning. And then was it chance? Yes, that this woman was caught red-handed in adultery. Was it chance? Or was it an accident that she was caught? Or was it by the providence of God? My dear friends, it was by the providence of God, because after she was caught red-handed, she was brought by the scribes and the Pharisees to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ showed this woman his grace. And this woman was pardoned, forgiven, even though she was such a great sinner. Then think of the thief on the cross who was crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Was it accidental or coincidental that this particular thief should be crucified next to the Lord Jesus Christ? No, my dear friends. On the cross of Calvary, she cried out to the Lord, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And the Lord Jesus Christ responded and said, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." It was not a coincidence. It was not accidental that she was there crucified, that he was there crucified next to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was by the providence of God that he was there for God to show him his grace. Now these were immoral people of the highest order. You think of them, Rahab. And think of the woman taken in adultery. Think of this man, the thief on the cross. They were very, very immoral people, as we say, immoral people of the highest order. And yet God saved them. God, by his providence, showed his grace to them. Now, indeed, God's ways are past finding out. And so we read this wonderful truth given to us in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. These are two very familiar verses. I'd like us to refer to them because they are so comforting for us to understand, to read this truth concerning this God of ours, that he should show his grace to us by his providence. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. All right, let's read these two verses together. Wonderful verses for us to read. Let's read them. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Go. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Yes, indeed, the grace of God and the providence by which he shows his grace are past our finding out. Too wonderful for us to understand, but indeed very, very wonderful. So how were we saved? Of course we were saved by his grace. We are no better, or we were no better than the thief on the cross, no better than Rahab, no better than the woman taken in adultery. In our eyes, perhaps, we might say, well, we are not that bad. But no, the word of God is very, very clear. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All, without exception, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. The Lord saw us walking along the broad way, heading for eternal hell and eternal damnation. The Lord took pity on us. And so there was a day in our life, yes, by his, on the day in our life, by his providence, he showed his grace to us. He called us, and we responded and we came to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now the testimonies of Rahab, the thief on the cross, and the woman taken in adultery all tell us that this God of ours is both able and willing to save even the vilest of sinners. Understand this truth, my dear friends. Today you are here, not by chance. You are here by the providence of God. Did you realize that? All right, I'd like you to think for a moment. You are here by the providence of God. Yes, it could be your children who prompted you to come, or your parents could have prompted you to come, or it could be a friend who invited you to come, or it could be just that your conscience was troubling you and you decided to come to church this morning. But friends, it is all by the providence of God that you are here today. And God shows his providence to you. He shows his providence to you, and he prompted you, moved you, so that you come to the house of the Lord today. So what should you do, friends? I would urge you to take advantage of this providence that God has shown to you. Come to him today and experience the cleansing flow of his precious blood that was shed for us on the cross of Calvary. Now let's consider the faith of Rahab in response to God's providence. Yes, we talk about Rahab's response to God's providence. Let's look at the faith of Rahab in response to God's providence. Now her faith, how large was her faith? Now I would say that her faith was as large as a mustard seed. Now the mustard seed, as we said before, is a very, very small seed. During the time of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, perhaps it was the smallest seed that was known in those days. A very, very small seed. But when the mustard seed grows up, the tree can grow up to something like 4 to 5 meters tall or so. But that faith that of hers, even though it was as small as a mustard seed, was good enough for her to be saved. Now, why do we say that her faith was small? Why do we say that? Now, her faith, I say, was small because her faith was based on something that she knew, which was very little, something that she knew about the one true living God. And that knowledge that she knew was actually very limited, very, very meager. All that she knew about this one true living God could be summed up by what she said to the two spies. Remember, this is what she said to them in verse 9. If you look at Joshua chapter 2, verse 9, this was what she said to them. And this was what she knew of about the one true living God. And she said unto the men, the two spies, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Verse 10. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what he did under the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom he utterly destroyed. My dear friends, it was a small faith. I say a small faith because it was faith based on a little knowledge, not great knowledge, a little knowledge. But then she was willing to turn her back on her idols to trust in the one true living God. So even though her faith was small, it was good enough for her to be saved. So my question for all of us here this morning is, how much do we need to know of God's word to be saved? The Lord says, as long as your faith, yes, your faith need not be so great. Yes, even a faith as small as a mustard seed is good enough for a person to be saved. How much does a child know of the one true living God? How much does a child know? Very little. But can a child be saved? Yes, of course a child can be saved, even though the child's knowledge of the one true living God is very, very little. The truth of the matter is this. God says this, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he also says, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Yes, and though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So the Lord's invitation is clear. He says, come, Come as you are, even with your very little knowledge, even with your little faith, come. What you need to do, my dear friends, is to trust in his precious blood shed for you on the cross of Calvary. Know and believe that he died for you on the cross of Calvary, that he was buried, and on the third day he rose up from the dead. And what you need to do is to receive him into your heart and repent from your sins. That's all, my dear friends, the Lord needs you to know for you to be saved. Come, believe in me, he says. Believe in the precious blood that I shed for you on the cross of Calvary. Believe that I'm alive. I rose up from the dead on the third day after I was buried. And then receive me into your heart. Repent, and you will be saved. My dear friends, that is as much knowledge as we need for us to be saved. And provided, of course, we truly repent. Now, I'm going to say something that is quite contradictory. I say that Rahab's faith was small as a mustard seed. But at the same time, I would say that the faith was very great. Now, I seem to be contradicting myself. Now, true, her faith was little based on the little that she knew. Yes, but she was willing to trust much, to believe much, to trust much. You see, you compare her knowledge to the knowledge of the children of Israel, of the one true living God, you really have to say that her faith was really small, or knowledge was very small. Think of the knowledge the children of Israel had of the one true living God. They saw the plagues that the Lord sent to afflict the Egyptians. Yes, and they also saw how the Lord had parted the Red Sea for them to cross over dry land. And they also saw how the Lord had led them in the wilderness wandering. They saw how the Lord provided that for them, preserved them, protected them. And then the Lord was very, very close to them to protect them all the way and to guide them all the way. They knew all that. But then their faith, many of them were filled with unbelief. That is why they died in the wilderness wandering. Whereas this woman, her faith, her knowledge was little, but she was willing to act based on the little faith that she had. Yes, she was willing to trust in the one true living God. Now just think how much she was willing to trust. She harbored the enemy instead of exposing the enemy to the king of Jericho. She was actually guilty of treason. Now if she was found out, she and her relatives whom she tried to preserve would all have been destroyed. But the question is, what made her take the risk? What made her take the risk was her faith in the one true living God. She believed in this God. That is why she preserved, she protected and hid these two spies. Now, if she didn't have faith, as we said, she would have reported the presence of these two spies to the Jericho authority. No, my dear friends, her profession of faith was not just words. There are lots of people who would say that they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but their profession of belief is nothing but just words. That's all. Her profession of faith was demonstrated by really clearly good works. It was pure action for the one true living God. And that is real faith. Yes, action for the one true living God. Now, what kind of faith do we have, my dear friends? Rahab had so little knowledge, yet she applied such great faith in the one true living God. Now, what about us? Do we know more than Rahab did in her days? Do we know more? Of course we do. We have the Word of God. Yes, we have the Bible that tells us a great deal about this one true living God. The Word of God tells us that this God of ours is all-powerful, is all-knowing, is omnipresent, is absolutely faithful, absolutely loving. Yes, should we not then trust this God more than we have ever trusted in the one true living God with the knowledge that we have? The answer is yes, of course. We know so much more. But friends, where is our faith? Then we see that the Lord honored her for her faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. We read in Hebrews 11, 31, the Lord honored her for her faith in him. Hebrews 11:31. Hebrews 11:31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she received the spies with peace. Her faith was highly honored. Yes, so highly honored that God actually inscribed her name in Holy Scriptures. Yes, Lord God honored her and placed her name among the great heroes and heroines of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And now, before I go on, lest we misunderstand the scripture, I need to digress a little to talk about the lie that she told. All right, she did tell a lie. Now, when the search party came, she told them that the spies had headed another way and then directed them in that way. Now, was it right? Was it right for her to tell a lie? Right or wrong for her to tell that lie? And then did God honor her for telling that lie? Now, to answer those questions, let's read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. All right, again. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Where is the word lie mentioned here? No lies mentioned. No, the word lie is not mentioned here at all. What is mentioned here is her faith. What is honored her here is her faith. Yes, so she was honored for her faith and not for her lie. Yes. Now, let's understand. God never condones lying. For God, as far as God is concerned, a lie is a lie. Now, some may say that, well, this woman, we must understand this woman in this situation. After all, she was very, very young in the faith, a baby in the faith. She just came to trust in the Lord. And then all her life she had been a prostitute. What do you expect of her? Telling a lie was something that was culture to her. So that was expected of her. But friends, the truth is a lie as far as God is concerned. It is just that in this instance, God showed his mercy to this woman. God simply pardoned her. God simply showed his mercy to this woman. That's all, my dear friends. Let us not think that God condones lying. He doesn't. Next, let us see that her faith was a living faith and not a dead one. Living faith, not a dead one. Look at James 2:26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. James 2:26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Faith without works is dead. Now, Rahab demonstrated her faith by her works. And what was her works? The works was that she took the risk by faith in hiding the two spies from the search party. These works very well backed up her faith in the one true living God. There are those who misinterpret scripture and say that, oh, salvation is by grace, and therefore, after we have come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are saved by grace, we can do what we want. But let's be very, very clear, my dear friends. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is absolutely clear about this. He says this, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Yes? So if we truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we must demonstrate our faith by fruits of repentance and also by fruits of righteousness. This would very, very clearly show that we are true in our faith and our profession of faith is true. And then the word of God also says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now you show your faith by demonstrating that you are new creature. How can an alcoholic say that he is a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ after his profession of faith, he still continues to be an alcoholic? How can a cheat say that he is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ when he still continues to be a cheat? And then how can a womanizer say that his faith is true after he has come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? He still continues to be a womanizer. My dear friends, if you continue to sin and not repent, it is doubtful that your profession of faith is true. So we need to do some self-examination, my dear friends. We need to search ourselves and see whether or not we truly have repented from our sins. Of course, I know you. You've been coming to the worship service for years now, and I know you as friends, and I know you as members of the church, as worshippers of the church. But friends, it is very, very needful that every one of us does some soul searching and see whether or not we truly have repented from our sins. And those of us who are new to the gospel and you have heard the gospel today, if you choose to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, let's remember, repentance is necessary. If we have truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must show our belief by our works. Then let's note that James cites two examples to explain that faith without works is dead. Two examples. He cites the example of Abraham, and he cites the example of Rahab. Why the example of Abraham, and why the example of Rahab? Now, Abraham was a spiritual giant, whereas Rahab was a prostitute, right? One who was very young in the faith. All right, let's read James chapter 2, verses 20 and to 25. All right, James 2, 20 to 25. Let me read these verses for you. But without know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? In other words, how faith works with his works. And by works was faith made perfect. And verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Easy, then, how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Verse 25. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. Now, when we think of Abraham, we think of Abraham as a spiritual giant. As we said, he was one who was chosen by God to be the father of many nations, the father of all, spiritual father of all true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Abraham was one who had so much faith that he was even willing to offer up his son Isaac as a sacrifice unto the one true living God, with the belief that if Isaac was sacrificed, God was able to raise him from the dead. That was the kind of faith Abraham had. Then, in the case of Rahab, what was Rahab? Rahab, as we said, was a prostitute, a non-Israelite, and one whose faith was small as a mustard seed. Now, what's the message here, my dear friends? The message is simply this. Whether you say that your faith is a big one, or whether you say your faith is a small one, my dear friends, both kinds of faith must be demonstrated by good works. Yes, that's the lesson. So, friends, it is very, very necessary that we look at ourselves, all right? If we say that we are new believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, true, we still have to show forth good works that we are true believers in the Lord. Show that we have truly repented from our sins. And if we say that we are seasoned believers, my dear friends, let us also make sure that we are indeed showing forth good works. Finally, let us see God's providence in saving us through a red cord, as recorded in this passage. A red cord, a red robe. It was a scarlet robe that saved the lives of the two spies, because it was by this scarlet rope that the two spies were lowered down the wall of the city of Jericho, and then they were able to escape. Then on the days the Israelites invaded the city of Jericho, the family of Rahab, her loved ones, relatives, all were saved because they had identified their house with this red scarlet rope that was hung through her window down the city wall, so that the children of Israel could identify that indeed was a house, and then spared the people in the house. Now, doesn't that red cord, my dear friends, remind us of the blood of the Passover lamb that was sprinkled on the door frame of the homes of the children of Israel? Remember, on the night before the children of Israel exited the land of Egypt, God's instruction to them was to offer a Passover lamb, a lamb. And then the blood of the lamb was to be sprinkled on the door frame. And then when God saw the blood, or the angel of death saw the blood, then the angel of death would just pass over and spare all the firstborn males that were in the house that had this door frame sprinkled with the blood of the lamb. Now, whereas in the homes of the Egyptians, yes, they had no, the door frames were not sprinkled with the blood of the lamb, and therefore all the firstborn males in the homes of the Egyptians were slaughtered by the angel of death. So, my dear friends, we see this red cord, yes, this red cord running from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. Now, this is God's way of saving us, the red cord of salvation. My dear friends, yes, doesn't it remind us of this blood of the Lamb that was shed for us on the cross of Calvary? Even the Passover Lamb that was offered by the one true living God. Rahab and family had the red cord to save them. But what about us, my dear friends? We have the red cord of the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have this blood to cleanse us of our sins. And so that when God sees that we have been cleansed by this blood of the Lamb, He spares us. He forgives us. Now, my dear friends, have you come to this, the Lord Jesus Christ, and asked for this precious, precious blood of the Lamb to cleanse you of all your sins? If you haven't, why don't you come today and ask for this blood to cleanse you of your sins? Now, let's sum up what we said today. God works through His providence. We were saved, not by chance, not by coincidences, but, my dear friends, we were saved by the providence of God. It was His providence that caused events and situations to happen a certain way, and so that we were led by God to come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It didn't happen by chance. It was by the providence of God that we came to the Lord. Then, today, my dear friends, if you are here seated in the congregation, you are also led by the providence of God, or rather I should say, by the providence of God, you are here. Now, if you have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ yet, today I will urge you to take advantage of this providence and come to believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Then Rahab's faith was as little as a mustard seed. But friends, it was good enough to save her. And then she demonstrated her belief, her faith in the one true living God by risking her life to hide the two spies in her home from the Israelites. Friends, we say that we believe in the Lord. If we do, we must demonstrate our faith by our works. And God honored her faith. As we read earlier on, her name has been inscribed in Holy Scriptures along with the great heroes and the heroines of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And not only was she honored in that manner, but actually I didn't talk about this one, but let me just say this. She was honored in another manner. You know, Rahab was also appointed to be one of the ancestresses of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And our faith, my dear friends, as Rahab's faith was honored, our faith will be honored also. Because when we come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when we put our faith in the Lord has appointed us to be heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. One day, my dear friends, we will be sitting with the Lord on His throne to rule with Him. And finally, if we want to be saved, there is no other way for us to be saved except by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Rahab and family could not be saved except that they had identified their home with that red cord hung from the window. And the two spies could not have been saved except they came down from that rope that was hung from a window. Likewise, my dear friends, we cannot be saved except that we put our trust in the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then remember, friends, if we are ever in tight spots and we are doing the will of the Lord And as a result of which we are in the tight spot that we are in, just remember this. The tight spot has been, we have been placed in that tight spot because of the providence of God. God allows us to be there so that He, through that tight spot, will pour down His blessings upon us. So that we will be able to say, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your mercies. Thank You for Your kindness. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You, O Lord, for bringing us into Your house to worship You this morning. We know that it is not by chance that we are here. O Lord, we pray that we may all be very thankful to You, for You have, by Your providence, brought us here because You want to show Your grace to us. And Lord, we pray for those who are still not clear about their salvation or are seeking, we pray that You will move their hearts so that they will come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And Father, we pray that all of us may understand that should we be placed in some tight spots because we are doing the will of the Lord, we may understand, Lord God, from this account given to us that the tight spots are the means by which we would want to pour down Your blessings upon us so that we may understand better what it means when the Word of God says all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. O Lord, we pray and give thanks in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.